Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. I am going to be playing a rebroadcast, and I hope you guys really enjoy it. So here's the rebroadcast of none other than H.K. Edgerton on Live in the Day with Jay.
Writers. It's me again, number one wrong writer, Jay Hall, and you are definitely live in the day with Jay. Guys, thank you for joining us again today for another show. We got a great show for you. We're going to continue our talks on the Colored Confederates, which, you know, I just can hardly wait for that. But first and foremost, I want you guys to always check out the updates of the show and the Independent Artist Festival that's coming up. You can go to jradioshow.com or you can follow us on Twitter at jradioshow@twitter.com. Well, I told you guys last week that when we talked to Mr. Wyatt that we were going to try our best to get HK on the show. Well, you guys, we are going to be joined momentarily by HK. And I, as promised, I'm going to give him the entire hour. And we're going to talk a little bit about this Confederate dilemma that he has in his mind, if you can call it a dilemma, or this colored Confederate fact that he wants you to believe. And I think it's all interesting, but I do have questions. I have lots of questions. And I'm eager to hear his explanations on some of the issues that he says has arisen from the separation after the Civil War. Interesting stuff. And I want you guys to listen to this. Have an open mind. I'm going to have one. I'm going to try my best to have one. And I want you guys to have an open mind, too, and to listen and to kind of see if you can weed yourself through a time in history that was very, very important in the progress of America. Now, I'm no history teacher. By any means, I'm no history teacher, but I do know a little bit. I know enough to realize a red flag. And I'm not saying that what I'm about to give you is a red flag, but I am going to say, keep an open mind, and everything that you hear and everything that you think you hear, research it. Go back, research it, try to find out some answers for yourself, because this is going to be a very, very interesting interview. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and hopefully we will be joined by none other than H.K. Edgerton. The number to call is 704-313-0101. That number again is 704-313-0101. You're definitely live in the day with Jay.
Von Lush Studios, Gastonia's newest and most reliable tattoo, piercing, and photography studio. Located on the corner of 317 South Marietta Street, Gastonia, North Carolina, Von Lush Studios gives you that upscale experience that you may want in a tattoo environment. You can reach them at 704-910-1713, or you can reach them at www.vonlush.com. Von Lush Studios, Gastonia's newest reliable studio.
Budget Blinds, a style for every point of view. When choosing Budget Blinds, you get stunning home accessories, plus free home consultations and estimates. When purchasing your blinds, you can take advantage of our expert fit, measure, and installation, top name brands exclusive to Budget Blinds, and unique products with prompt delivery to you. All of our products, from blinds to shutters, shades to valances, are backed by our exclusive guarantee. Call Budget Blinds today at 704-864-8778 for your free in-home consultation. The Bottle Shop, located in the heart of downtown Gastonia, North Carolina, is a family-owned fine wine and import beer establishment. Since July 2009, The Bottle Shop prides itself in offering the widest selection of fine wines outside of Charlotte, with over 208 wines to choose from, as well as over 152 import beers and fine selections of cigars. It's owned and operated by Margaret Mooney. The Bottle Shop. Open Monday through Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Thursday through Saturday, 11 to 10 p.m. Drop by for a wine or beer tasting, or just come in and have a glass at our wine bar. Wine is served by the bottle or the glass, and we have several wine and beer tastings per month. Be sure to check us out on the web at thebottleshop.biz and find out the dates of our next tasting. That's The Bottle Shop with two P's and an E, or call us at 704-810-WINE. The Bottle Shop, 174 West Main Avenue, Gastonia.
Welcome back to the show. Number to call, 704-313-0101. Top of the show, I did tell you guys that we were going to be endowed with a great, great treat today. For those of you who are just joining us, last week we were joined by Mr. Ken Wyatt, who is the creator of the new documentary, Colored Confederates, Myth or Matter of Fact. And it's great, great dialogue. And, you know, but I really wanted to talk to HK. And with some things transpiring over the week, we were able to actually come into agreement to get Mr. Edgerton on the show. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce my first guest, Mr. H.K. Edgerton. How you doing, sir?
I'm going to be doing better when you start calling me H.K. and take that howl off my name. Some of those young girls might be listening. You can make them think I'm too cold.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. First and foremost, I want to say thank you for being able to come on the show and talk to us, you know, at such an early notice. And I know you're busy. I know you got things going on. But I had to be able to sit down and talk with you. For those people who are listening right now, if you can, tell them a little bit about yourself before we get into deeper dialogue.
Well, I'm just a country boy from the mountains of Asheville, North Carolina, born and raised here, a son of the South. I've served in some capacity in civil rights most of my life. I am the past president of NAACP here in the city of Asheville. I was his first vice president. I helped co-found the Black Students at the University of Minnesota. I served as chairman of the board of the Sebastian Community Center, which is a United Way social service agency in Minneapolis. Born and raised here, had two runs for mayor. I spent a great deal of my life in the civil rights arena, the human rights arena.
Mm-hmm.
I am now president of Southern Heritage 411, and also chairman of the board of advisors emeritus of the Southern Legal Resource Center, which is basically a nonprofit civil rights law firm and fights against Southern Heritage violations like the battle flag, when my babies are told that when they come to school with a t-shirt on it, turn it inside out. It's an evil demonic symbol. They use their limited First Amendment rights to go up. Many people in the job place. So I wear a lot of hats.
I see. Now, you know, I did see the documentary, and I you know, as I told Mr. Wyatt, I thought it was excellent work. It's very captivating. Kept me and the individuals that I was watching it with had us captivated with the rhetoric that was used and the overtone of the rhetoric. So I really liked the documentary. But I do have a few questions for you. I know that you were saying that the state of America, we're just going to get right into it. You're saying the state of America, because of the outcome of the Civil War, the state of America is at dismay. And it would have been very different. I just want, if you can, explain a little bit about how it would be if the turnout was different at the Civil War.
The state of the war between the states put black folks, derailed them from social vertical mobility in America. The Christian white folks in the South Man of America up until the days of the war, especially the great Commonwealth of Virginia, was working very hard to find a way that he could emancipate that African. Now, these folks from the North, they'll come and tell you their story about the abolitionists and all this other kind of crap. John Brown, first person John Brown killed when he crossed Harper's Ferry was a black man on duty. Here in the South Man of America, and I can get to some bottom lines because I could be here all night trying to talk to you about this thing.
Well, we got an hour, so let's go ahead and do it.
Okay, in the South Man of America, black folks working beside a man that he can not only call master, but family and friends, brought the whole world out of the caves of darkness. Far too many people look at black folks and when you say slavery, because slavery is not only a place we were, but it's the weapon of choice that these folks try to use against white folks in the South Man of America, when the whole of the entire civilized world and many unparts of the uncivilized world participated in the economic institution of slavery. Right down here in these cotton fields and bean fields, black folk were working side by side that man with his family, and was treated like his family. They threw pictures every year during February, so-called Black History Month, but I call it beat up on the white folks in the South Month. It's going to get down to some bottom lines.
Wow.
They don't show the real emancipation that was taking place in the South and Atlanta. And I'm not saying it's defending the economic institution of slavery. Right. Put it in the body politic like it really was.
Well, how was it? How was it in your eyes? Where did the slaves come from, and how were they even enslaved?
They were all taken out of West Africa, like King Gamelli, a man, an African king, and I'm not going to let those Stephen Africans get away, because they still sitting on my grandma and my grandpa's property. And most places, like that's why we talk about Africa, going back to Africa, has been colonized by every third thief and country in the world. But now, they came from West Africa, most of them. That's why we got this term African American. It's all about money. Everything is about money. African American, because some of the property comes, when I'm talking about reparations and figure, the only way they can identify those Africans from West Africa, because so many other Africans coming into the country from all over the place, and wanted to make sure they kept the money on the table. Bottom line, now, we came out of those jungles, King Gamelli, an African king, said to James Wilmot, an agent of the British king, when he came to see him to end the economic institution of slavery, so you can go back and tell your king, I am the king of kings around here in Africa. And if a white man comes to buy, I'm going to sell him, or don't sell him, I'm going to kill him. All these babies running around here calling themselves Rafiki and Shaki, the Arabs were the one who threw us into this heat called slavery in the first place. Well, there's some bottom lines here, too. Let's just get on right down to the state.
Okay.
Here we are, suppose the greatest country in America, and I have to argue. See, people think, oh, Edison can't flag, and he just stuck up to white folks. I have to fight battles every day because my inclusion of my black family into the whole scheme of this thing. Here we are, here in this country, every enemy that this country ever faced, come right in here and dream and talk about the American thing. I've got some men, one of the biggest dialogues and confrontation I've had this whole month, not a confrontation, but was because they have this idea somehow that black folks got all these entitlements and getting all this money. So wrong. So wrong. Here we are, even when affirmative action is supposed to affirm the wrongs of the black folks. And these folks over here, as soon as they found out that they could include women as minorities, men who had resources, use their rights, uninvolved, but all kinds of things going on that I must say to my southern family, because that flag is a reference point to everything.
Okay.
Any Southern American, African American who wants to pick it up, I don't even want to use the word African American. Any Southern black folks who want to pick it up and carry, they earn the place of honor and dignity under that flag.
Okay. Hold on, HK. I mean, you're going 1,000 miles an hour. Hold on 1 second. Now, in saying all that,
yes,
would you call your past identity with civil rights the Old Testament?
It has come full circle. Yes, it is not only just the Old Testament, it's the New Testament. History is a great big circle, Jane. It's all part of the whole thing. If we don't know, if black folks and white folks in the South don't come together, we have faced genocide. Our South will listen.
God
is just like the Southern white man.
I truly agree with you. I think that there has to be a certain common ground of unity when it comes to different religious backgrounds, different races. We have to come together to be able to really understand one another. I agree with you on that aspect. But on the same token, to look at slavery in the aspect that you're looking at it, slavery was hurtful. Yes, there has been more than just black people enslaved on this planet. That is a given. But on the same token, how do you feel saying these things to a black man? A black man. I'm black. I'm black. But on the same token, what I'm saying is, I understand the avenue that you are trying to come across, but in that avenue you're trying to come across, you're saying things that are really hurtful to some people. Like, I know in one clip, that's the truth according to you. That's not the truth according to the truth. That's the truth according to you. Now, I know you said something in one of the clips from the docs.
Okay.
And you said something about the Klans. And you said the Klan has done so many things positive for the black people. And that really puzzled me. And I want to know, coming from you, what have they done that's good for the black community?
Listen, you probably might not even be here if it hadn't been for the Klan under the time of John Lincoln, that before I was supposed to be here. We always talk about the Klan. The Klan of today is not the Klan, and it's an exception. What about the Union League? The Union League came right through the South, killing, raping, robbing, stealing from black folks. They didn't put X's on black folks' doors. And we're talking about black soldiers with their Yankee leaders. They came through here and forced black people to vote in the Radical Republican Party. And a lot of things that are not true. The Klan was not, when the Klan started getting infiltrated by white folks from the North, because they all look alike, if you don't talk alike. They come down here, they started to infiltrate the plant, all kinds of things to black folks. Well, I'm not here, listen, I'm not here trying to defend anything, I'm sitting here setting the record straight. If it don't be for the Klan, listen, make them get the price. Every one of those men in Congress, they wanted to hang President Davis and General Lee, but they thought they had, we're going to get, make them get the price. They brought it to Washington, D.C., sent that power, and William S. Thurman signed the deal. Took him off to Washington, D.C., and it was so bad, they said to themselves, hey, we're going to let this man go because of things that we've been doing in the South. But it's going to come out miserably law. They needed it.
Yeah, and saying that, we just took
it.
And
over Fort Pillow,
HK, in saying that, we just took a trip to the moon and back, and I didn't get my answer. I want to know, what have the Klan specifically done for the black community?
I just got through telling you what the Klan has done for black. Now, all these other things that the Klan have done, they have done wrong. You cannot use violence. It's one of the reasons why I love Mahatma Gandhi and Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
Because they understood this thing. You can't use, I'm not defending all the bad things that the Klan did. I'm just trying to give you a reference point to who the Klan was.
Well, you see, you made the statement that I wouldn't be here.
That's why our minds are so close. When you can say Klan, you better specify what part of the Klan you're talking about. And since you accuse me of saying the positive things they did, what they hurt a lot of black folks and white folks' lives during the period of Reconstruction.
How?
Nah, after that, they tried to give Marcus Garvey some money to go back and colonize Liberia. It was NAACP who stopped that.
I don't think that they were trying to give Marcus Garvey anything. They gave him an ultimatum. They gave Marcus Garvey an ultimatum to leave.
They gave
and
Marcus
to shut
Garvey
his mouth.
Some money and told him to, listen, we will help you get out of the country.
What section of the Klan done that?
Well, you can laugh about it all you want to. It's written records. Go to the congressional records. All these things are there. You keep saying to H.K. Edison, where I get my information, and I'm just doing, I have read the letters, I have read some of the most rare books in the world, that most of you black folks never even heard of. I've sat down and talked with people. You always keep talking about Martin Luther King's claim that one day the son of a former slave will sit down at the table of brotherhood with the son of a former slave and I'm on all sides of the table. And with the hate that I see coming from some of these folks who don't want to listen and look at the truth, it amazes me. It only amazes me a lot because I see in front of the name Weber. How you gonna get to the table of brotherhood? You can't go to the table of brotherhood concocting the lie that your Yankee group has taught you about
But on the same token, how can you get to the table of brotherhood when you can't even be a brother to your brother? We got
to
take a quick break. We got
to my brother. My brother to my brother every day. Y'all keep talking that crap.
Okay, we
got to
take a quick break. We got to take a quick break. We're going to come back and we're going to finish this, all right? Number call 704-313-0101. You're definitely live in the day with Jay.
Moss Health Mart Pharmacy is your locally owned pharmacy in Gastonia. Since 1940, they have made a personal commitment to the Gastonia area to be your trusted health care resource. They honor prescription plans, including Medicare, and take the time to know you while explaining your medications and answering any questions you may have. Experience the difference. Moss Health Mart Pharmacy, 704-867-9611. Health Mart, caring for you and about you.
Bon Lush Studios, Gastonia's newest and most reliable tattoo, piercing, and photography studio. Located on the corner of 317 South Marietta Street, Gastonia, North Carolina, Bon Lush Studios gives you that upscale experience that you may want in a tattoo environment. You can reach them at 704-910-1713, or you can reach them at www.bonlush.com. Bon Lush Studios, Gastonia's newest reliable studio.
Need new furniture? Get to Badcock to celebrate our holiday super sale. Save up to $400 on selected dining rooms, bedrooms, and living rooms. Save over $1,000 on our Legends mattress set and get a free tablet. And don't miss our back-to-school specials. Save $300 on a laptop or tablet with our Home Run or regular youth bedroom collections. Plus, enjoy 18-month special financing and register to win $5,000 shopping spree at Badcock.com.
Welcome back to the show. Number to call 704-313-0101. If you guys are just joining us, we have been speaking with one of the highlights of the new documentary by Ken Wyatt, Colored Confederates, Myth or Matter of Fact. We've been speaking with the one and only infamous Mr. H.K. Edgerton. Mr. Edgerton, before we went to the break, I'm trying to digest everything you just said. And I understand that you have these strong feelings, but let me.
But you accused me of something.
I didn't accuse you. I just gave you what you said in the documentary,
brother. See, the thing about it is, you. See, I don't know why y'all keep us presuming to assume that I can't vote with my brothers and my sisters, and that I don't.
No one said that.
Look at the, you take the touch.
No one said that. No one said that, HK. What I have an issue with, I guess, is the fact that you put so many black people down for the way they think because they don't think like you. And you can't do that. You can't come to the table of unity and kumbayaism if you don't know how to give that to your fellow man who stands beside you every day.
I'm telling you how to get to the table of brotherhood. You cannot even want me to tune in to know that you couldn't attack the Confederate battle flag and call yourself going over to the table of brotherhood. He asked his own lieutenants, and even Levin Abernathy, as told to me by the Honorable Andrew Young, that they at the 100-year celebration of the Aspen School where he gave the keynote speech, I asked him. And he said they asked Dr. King several times to attack that flag and told him to leave it alone. Let's do something about the things that we can do something about. Unless you have the other side of the story, not the side of the public school system being established itself in 1865 here in the South of America and begin dumbing down black folks and separating us from white folks in the South of America. Please, come on. I don't want all the conversation.
So in saying that, did that ever happen? What was that the case? Is that how so many black people were not educated to the fact that they should have been back in that time era?
Absolutely. Listen, you know,
was that black people's fault?
Reconstruction, huh?
Was that black people's fault?
No, it wasn't black people. I told you a long time ago, we were victims in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's just the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Now,
let me give you a good example.
Okay, go ahead.
This week, I'm in Waynesville, standing at the Confederate Soldiers Monument, Waynesville, North Carolina, where a white attorney came through, supposedly his guest on a Sunday afternoon, and said that he was offended because there was a Confederate battle small stick flag on the grave at the Confederate Soldiers Monument, at the courthouse. Mm-hmm. All over the courthouse, you have monuments to veterans. They have nice little wreaths, and they have their colors. Vietnam, Korean, World War One, World War Two, they're all there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what would the Confederate soldiers call it on his grave? So he picks it up, walks off with it, and calls the county manager and tells him that he is guest offended. And the county manager gives an order to his staff that any time they see one of the flags on the graves, to pull it up. Oh no, anyway, what are you saying? What are you doing? So I go out with my flag, and I post one of the flags on the monument. Well, Sunday, the same attorney, Bob Clark, who is a practicing attorney in Hayward County, which Waynesville is, and lives in Jackson County, came over to the grave, over to the monument where I'm standing in my uniform with my flag, and he says to me, I'm Bob Clark. He extends his hand. I shake his hand. While he was telling me, I recognized who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to me, take that thing above the monument. No, wait a minute. I'm not going to do that. Then he says to me again, if you don't do it, I will do it. So I have to step in between them because that's not going to happen. Now, some black folks who I don't know whether they read the story or not because it's a two-hand situation to me, they called up and said they were offended because HK was stepping around Waynesville with the Confederate battle flag. Now, I'm standing here on Tuesday with my flag, and a white woman walks up to me and she said, I had to come over and talk to you because a black man standing at Hayward County Courthouse with the rebel thing, he must not know what's going on in this county. So she went on to tell me that her daughter had started dating a black man, and that she was in court today because her daughter's friend burned a cross in her yard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those same little white boys had to walk past me and see me standing there with the Confederate battle flag, standing up for their ancestors as well as mine. Now, and I'm trying to explain to this lady, you need me to be in Hayward County because you cannot take something that rightfully belongs to black folks as well as white folks. It doesn't be for the black folks that were in the last 4 days, let alone 4 years. and all the honor and dignity they have on it because it just got raced away. Have you seen any movies with Levi Alexander and Hope Collier, Rev. Mike Lee, the Black Confederate Soldier? Do they talk about the Black Confederate Soldier during Black History Month? No. We don't talk about that place while I'm serving, but little redneck white boys don't know anything about who I am and who these men were, the black folks who said it. The hate that you're giving over here and putting down here is wrong. You need this flag to be over here so you can get told the real truth about this thing. Let's come down to some of the bottom lines.
Okay, so your presence, is your presence going to fix things there in Hayward County?
One man at a time. I think it's starting to. I do. I think things are happening. Things are being said. People are talking when they wouldn't talk before.
Now, let me ask you a very profound question.
Good.
Would you dress up in a Klan suit?
Why would I dress up in a Klan suit? It can equate with the Confederate uniform and the Confederate flag with the Klan. They're not totally different.
Wait a minute now. If they tried to help us,
then you know who you're from. Where are you from?
If they tried to help us.
Where are you from?
I'm from here. I'm from North Carolina. If they tried to help
us. Your grandfather, you know who your great-grandpa was during that time in history?
I sure do, HK. But listen,
okay,
listen to me.
Okay, I'm listening.
If you said that the Klans tried to help black people or actually did help black people,
mm-hmm.
What would be the big issue of marching with the Klan?
There's a lot of folks trapped with addiction. Help black people. Did you work for Richard Nixon? Hey, you don't know about the Philadelphia Plan, but really Richard Nixon stopped those Yankee white folks from putting a monopoly in the Berlin cage. You don't know Richard Nixon was part of the reason why affirmative action came into play, small business.
I think what I'm trying to understand. What are you fighting for? Are you fighting for knowledge to be bestowed upon people who didn't have the knowledge? Or are you fighting for blame to the ones who don't understand the knowledge that you say you have?
Knowledge will help you to be able to act different kinds of ways. Folks have done nothing to us with the public school system and this way of doing things in America. But to divide black folks and white folks in the South, that's not the too late.
What are some of those?
First of all, you got to call time out to this thing because you need to know who you are, black folks and white folks.
Okay, I can hear that, and I do agree that you do need to know who you are. You need to know where you come from, where you're going, and what your purpose is. But in saying that, do you forget that you stood on that side with the NAACP?
One of the most honorable things I ever did in my whole entire life was to be the vice president and president of the NAACP.
Are you still involved?
I'm here because of the NAACP. Am I supposed not to be able to have a difference of opinion with the people who I still involved with?
Oh, definitely.
I think the NAACP took a deal with the devil and took the railroad when they could have taken the highway, especially as it relates to the southern white man. And the southern white man. NAACP don't speak with every black man, woman, child in America. I know that. I was one of them.
So,
it's one of the most honorable things I ever did. I haven't been able to say it wasn't. But I don't agree with the plan. I don't agree with the way NAACP tries to bully folks. The citizens. Give you a perfect example. Right down in Lake City, Florida, where I just had the opportunity to come and speak at the city council meeting in support of the honorable chief, Arthur Gilmore, the first black, first female chief in Lake City, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Her crime was she had the Reverend Adaffi to take a picture at the Rustic Festival with some men of the Sons of Confederate Veterans Mechanized Cavalry. And oh my God, they had the evil Confederate flag on their insignia. What else did they have? They had and no decent law abiding chief or police officer would ever take a picture with that flag. I had to give them. Show them copies of my brother's book when I walked to Texas carrying that flag, and how many red, yellow, black, and white police officers, chiefs, and mayors. I got the chief to the city to call a target from a black mayor. I'm on my way to Texas, walking 20 miles a day, 6 days a week, carrying this flag and interacting with my community just like I'm interacting with them right now.
But why would you do that? Why? What was the purpose of walking to Texas? I'm curious.
It was generally we walked to Texas. One,
I was raising funds for the Southern Legal Resource Center, that same nonprofit civil rights law firm. I'm chairman of the board of advisors. To do the same kind of thing I'm doing now, to give the people another side, to hear.
Were you walking by
black family?
Were you walking by yourself?
So look here, the black folks in America, hey, you give them inputs, and they will do the right thing. They will make the right decision. I'm not forcing my opinion on anyone. I'm just simply saying, look, all these 150 years after the war between the states, the Confederate battle flag is not enshrined in Washington, D.C. All you have to do is look at the CNN report about the wealth of black folks compared to illegal immigrants have more chances of coming out of poverty and more wealth than black folks around here who made this country. Now, the Confederate battle flag is not flying. The stars are striped. Dr. King said that Negro America was given a bad check mark, insufficient funds. How much longer do it take for black folks to wake up and know that something not quite right with this deal?
Okay, so in saying that, and I'm familiar with that quote from Dr. King, in saying that, what is your remedy to getting or raising the conscious mind of the black family in America?
Trying as hard as I can right now.
Talking
with you, sir.
So you saying knowledge of the Confederate. Knowledge of the Confederate.
Become occupied again.
Of the Confederate era, that's what's going to save the black community right now is the knowledge that you're going to give them about the Confederate era and why it was wrong and why it should be changed or why what would happen if it was changed. So,
a Republican president coming from this party, they claim he came from Party of Lincoln, but it wasn't the same radical Republican Party. Here's a man who they talk about Barack Obama and Reverend Wright and the kind of things Reverend Wright say. You can hear most every day and most churches I've been to in the South, none of you know. Now, here you have this man running for a Republican president, Mitt Romney, and his religion, the Mormon faith, saying that black folks was inferior to white folks. Here's a man, Romney don't like my flag and Southern people, so that puts flashes up in my head, no matter I am a registered Republican. Now, you don't even know why this man say these things. Then all of a sudden, one day, the prophet that they have on earth, because what he said, they wait for him to make a decision about this thing, about black folks. Now, you make the decision until the Supreme Court said, we take away your 501c3's non-profit status if you keep that on your dogma about these black folks. Now, all of a sudden, a week later, this boy has a new revelation that black folks is okay. I have problems with that thing. See, here's a man that came from the same area of the country who said black boys were the black folks was no good, the brain was too small. Same one who had all those books that picked up all those slaves on the trail of misery and tears that we always talk about that happened at the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. You say you're a registered Republican, correct?
Been one all my life.
All your life. You was in the NAACP as a registered Republican, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
I'm going to get another question.
Say you have been all your life. I said you were in the NAACP, leading the NAACP as a registered Republican, correct?
That's it.
Okay, that's interesting in itself. Secondly, that means you're going to be... In your words, you were with the NAACP, and you probably with them how long ago?
Oh, I can't even remember. It's been at least past 10 years. It's been a while.
Okay. Anyhow, I'm going to skip past that. You said that... So that means you're going to vote for Romney, correct?
That means what?
That means you're going to vote for Romney, correct?
What do you think
the status of the job that President Obama has done thus far? Do you think he has helped all people? Do you think that he's made the economy better?
Listen.
Do you support him?
Listen. See, he's trying to get back the same thing. You asked me what I'm going to do. Let me say this.
No, I asked you, do you support him?
No, you asked me what I'm going to support. No, that's coming back to the same question. But let me say this. Let me answer some of your questions about President Obama.
Please do. Direct questions.
I
could do it for you, and probably would be right. But
all right, go ahead, man. What do you think I think about President Obama?
I really don't think that you support him. I think that you think that the black community is uplifting him, and that we're still led astray.
What did I do to say that?
You asked me what I thought, and I told you.
Now, you want me to put words in my mouth?
I gave you my opinion. You asked me, and I gave you. So go ahead and tell me then.
Now, let me tell you what I think.
Okay, set the record straight.
All right. Number one, you asked me what kind of job I think that President Obama has done.
Mm-hmm.
For a man to inherit what he inherited, he has done an admirable job.
I agree.
Admirable. Now, I don't like it because the same Republican Party, my party, decided carte blanche that nothing he did, they were going to go along with it. Problem with that. I got a problem with that. Big time, serious, deep problem. The dismal thing, I have friends on all circles, all economic, all political status. Let me tell you, it's politics. When you start talking about politics, it gets really, really ugly in the body politic. But the thing about it is here, you have to look at me as a man and accept me for what I believe, no matter what the contrary to your beliefs.
Okay. Wait a minute. Now, in the aspect that you just said that, we have to look at you and respect you for the man you are and your beliefs. Now, couldn't that be on the flip side? Couldn't you say, you know, black people, you know, I respect them and I accept them for who they are and what they believe right now? But yeah, but you more or less, you know, say they're dumbfounded because they believe anything that they're told.
I didn't say that. Well, the propaganda machine did here in South America is they not only come, I'm not talking about black folks. How about the white folks they've done now? It happens, it's on both sides of the tape.
It is. HK, can we play? I want to play a clip of you. You were speaking to some people. Can we play this clip real quick and listen to it? And I want your thoughts on it. Okay.
Yeah, play your clip.
All right. Well, I'm gonna play my clip.
Looking like you want me. Look just like me. And that boy there, dude. Hold
I'm a Southerner, first of all. As you know, I'm a former president of the NAACP in the city of Asheville, North Carolina. After I read some of the letters from my babies on how they were losing their First Amendment rights at the schoolhouse and how people were using implied immunity to stop them from wearing their little Dixie outfit or t-shirts, and a lot of them crying out for help from the Southern Legal Resource Center. And surprisingly for me, a great deal of those babies that were crying out for help were black babies. The whole institution of slavery has been blamed solely on Christian white folks in the South, and the whole world acts as though it didn't participate, and the whole world did participate. You know, black folks and white folks in the South and the North, we've been family in lieu of slavery for a long time. For me, the victory didn't come with Mosley over there at Appomattox Courthouse for those folks. In the hearts and minds of us, that thing still was there, the love for the Southland of America. So the only way, basically, that we could do this thing is to dumb down the people and grab black folks and divide and separate them down in the South. How are you going to separate Confederate history and Southern history from black folks? But they don't talk about Levi Carnine, Reverend Mike Lee, Hope Collier, John Edgerton. They don't talk about these folks because, I mean, these are black heroes who fought very bravely. Reverend Mike Lee said, bodyguard to Honorable General Robert E. Lee, he told his people, after he'd educated himself with the money that General Lee had given him, keep your faith in God, buy you some land, get yourself educated, and beyond all else, put your faith and trust in the white man in the South, no other, because he knew what was in the hearts and minds of Southern people. These folks talked about Nathan Bedford Forrest. If it don't be for Nathan Bedford Forrest and that original Ku Klux Klan, I'm not talking about what happened after Nathan Bedford Forrest, many of us Southerners, red, yellow, black, and white, would be just like the dinosaur around here in the Southland of America, extinct. People don't understand that. They just say Ku Klux Klan, and all of a sudden they gather these images of mob ties and white men standing around beating and hanging and whipping black folks. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Thaddeus Stevens and his boys found out how successful that the Klan was at defending Southern folks, red, yellow, black, and white. So what did they do? They started sending their boys down here and dressing up like the Klan and committed terror in the South. And then all of a sudden, you know, Nathan Bedford Forrest understood this thing. He told his men, "Men, let's just come home. Let's go home and forget about this thing." And I'll tell you something. From all the accounts of what you do find, there was not a single man who looked like me that wouldn't have given his life for Nathan Bedford Forrest. Playing caviar black folks on plantations all across the South Bend of America. Made all the implements of war. Stayed at home. Provided all the foodstuffs. Many went off to fight in the war. Gloriously. In the 77 cities that I marched through when I walked to Texas, there was not one town that somebody did not come with a black Confederate hero. When my great-great-grandmama Hattie Edgerton stood on those shores in 1788 on her way to the Honorable T.R. Edgerton family in Relevant County, North Carolina, I'm so glad she didn't get left behind. Those Africans didn't like us then. They don't like us now. The only people that ever showed any love for us, those same white folks in those cotton fields and corn fields that we live side by side and call ourselves family. And I'm not here defending institutional slavery, because slavery was bad when Jesus Christ walked the earth. It's part of man's inhumanity to man. There's a resolve in those children, much like their grandfathers that we see buried around here. They want to know. And now they have these things called computers. These babies start plucking in these things, and these teachers can't get away with that stuff they used to get away with about, you know, our ancestors were demonic. I am so very, very proud of my heritage and my ancestry. God, in his infinite wisdom, could have sent my grandmama someplace else as a slave. But he sent her to the greatest country. He sent her to the Southland of America. If it hadn't been for that white master said, come in here, sit down, John. They burned out all our property. Our money is no good. All the animals are gone. But we family. Let's work together to make this thing survive and work again. And they did. And they did.
To find out more, call 1-800-MY-SOUTH or visit us on the web.
HK, what's your thoughts on that?
Like I told you, pretty good. I mean, you just played to me, and I don't think I'd be ready for anything else if you take with what I said. Because the same thing, when I think about it, I think it's the truth. And I think, listen, you know, people can go to my website, too. That'll help a lot. It's SouthernHeritage411.com. You know, I'm not, people, the only reason why I get as much attention as I get, because there are men like Nelson Winbush, whose father wrote with General Nathan, whose grandfather wrote with General Nathan Bedford Forrest. There's Stanley Lott, who wrote a book about Abraham Lincoln. There's Bob Smith, a filmmaker, who wrote things about the black Confederate soldiers. I just happen to be a former president of NAACP, picked up my bag and walked to Texas, carrying it. That's where the notoriety came from for HK. That's why people look at me. I'm not an anomaly. And, you know, the one thing that I can tell you for this, James,
mm-hmm.
When I walked to Texas, the deeper I went down into the South, you know, I like a lot of folks, you seem to think because they come from the city or they're in the city, that Southern folks are deep South, that there's something that they're lacking in terms of education. When I went into the South, the more I found people really understood this thing.
some places in the great state of Alabama, much like Waynesville, and it's sad.
Mm-hmm.
A great heritage in Alabama. Men like Hodge King built the spiral staircases in the capital building. A Confederate soldier built bridges. And when I say bridges, I don't mean just a little Clinton bridge. I'm talking about bridges. People who come down, you get hard to build your bridge. You got cannons and soldiers and wagons and all these things crossing this bridge. Good men.
HK.
But we don't. Yes.
If you can. Leave just for a minute. Just for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Leave the Confederacy aspect out of it, and tell me what your plan for unity would be.
Education, first of all, brings about unity. You ain't your fault. When do we come out of the quicksand? You got to come out of quicksand. And the thing that keeps you in quicksand is knowledge. Listen, we are in the South of America.
But what are we educating?
Let me say this.
Go ahead.
Things that this man didn't take during Reconstruction, he's come back to get again. And he used the Confederate flag as his ability to divide and separate. That's why he does these things. Our whole culture.
Yeah. You know what, though? I ask you to just dismay the Confederacy and tell me what your plan.
You can't.
Why?
You can't leave the Confederacy because it's a reference point to everything. You can't leave it.
So you think...
The NAACP was asked to attack the flag in the first place because those northern Jewish white men knew.
So you think every issue that plagues the black community, you think that it surrounds the Confederate flag? You think that drugs surround the Confederate flag? You think the high school dropout at a high rate surrounds about the Confederacy flag? You think that prostitution on the street corners surrounds around the Confederacy flag? Excuse me. You think that these people, these kids who have to take care of their mothers because they're strung out on drugs, who look out on the corner and see nothing but mere violence and hate going on in their community, can be fixed with knowledge of the Confederate flag?
Well, let me ask you this question. That's a straight question. Point to some of your leaders that are attempting to solve these kinds of things. And why are we in this particular point in time in history in that?
I'll tell you why, and I'll tell you we need to stop. I'll tell you my blueprint for the black community. My blueprint for the black community is we can't look at these so-called leaders in high statues. It has to start right in your own community. We have to get back to it, because there was a point in time in the black community where everyone cared about each other, where everyone looked after each other, whether you think it is or not, and the Confederate flag had nothing to do with it. There was a time in the black
Hold on.
Let me finish my blueprint. There was a point in time in the black community where you could leave your doors unlocked and no one would bring you any harm. I don't think that was because the Confederate flag was flying or anything. That had nothing to do with it. Poverty has nothing to do with the Confederate flag. People robbing each other in the black community has nothing to do with the Confederate flag. Prostitution and high school dropout has nothing to do with the Confederate flag. It has to do with lack of education, lack of knowledge, lack of motivation, lack of spiritual guidance, and those are the things that need to happen in the community. Now you can tell me your blueprint.
Red flag, Dixon. You just got the red flag. The same thing you're talking about. But you think, listen, we got slave narratives. There's a black woman who said, "Boy, I feel I'm glad to be here because of the safety issue. When I was in Africa, staying with the concrete, the rehousing, all kinds of things they want. Black on black crime in America, it's no different than what happened in the villages over there. You trying to describe to me, you went back in history of time when your mama, like my mama, could leave the door open, could cook some food. Mama, who are you cooking the food for? Don't you worry about that long to clean up the house when they leave. You're talking to a man who was born during Jim Crow. Back to where you're trying to get to. See, that whole moral fight, our father who are in heaven, how will be thy name? Where did we get it from? Plantations in the South Bay of America, folks like Reverend R.L. Baptist from Prince Edward County, Virginia, and Palmer, who was basically, I believe, a man who fought to preserve the institution of slavery. you're talking about the moral fiber and all these kind of things you're talking about, it all goes back to that, the reference point. Bottom line.
And the reference point is the Confederacy. Unbelievable. Hey, you know what, HK?
I really appreciate getting to talk to you. But please have the decency to go look at HK. Don't kill the messenger.
HK.
Please have the decency to go back and find out.
Before we go, I want to know one thing.
Really?
Why is it that every time I see you or see or hear about you having one of your rallies, or why are you the only one speaking? Why I don't see any of these people who follow you with you? Why are any of these people walking with you, marching with you, standing with you, taking your calls and putting it to fruition? Why am I not seeing any of this?
Because you are prejudiced.
So
you're a bigot. You don't come. If you saw me, listen, this is what I'll say.
So you call me a bigot.
No,
this is my show. Do you call me a bigot?
I will be in Lake City, Florida. I'll be in Tampa, Florida, this week, and I'll be speaking there during the Republican convention. I'll be all over the place. I'll be at Confederate Memorial Park for Media Day. It has tons and tons of media. I will be all over the place, so come on down. You're welcome to come anytime you want to.
Okay, I would love to. But in retrospect, you had the audacity to call me a bigot, and by all means,
I didn't say you was a bigot.
Yeah, that's what you said.
I said you discriminate. You asked me all these other things.
You just said I was a bigot.
Would you come to a certain Confederate veterans meeting?
I
could be there.
I could play it back for you. You just said I was a bigot. And I don't understand that terminology coming from you, a man of peace and love and unity.
Wait a minute now. She gave you ticket the wrong way.
Well, I mean, I take it how you say it. How many different does bigot has?
See, listen. You asked me about why you couldn't do this, why you weren't there. Would you go to a friend of the Confederate Veteran League?
No, I think you misunderstood me. I asked you why. I asked you why isn't any of these people that you have the huge following from, why aren't they by your side when I see or hear anything coming from you? Why don't I see a bunch of people with you or are you not reaching?
Generally, when people do these interviews and like even the take that you have, all kinds of people around. They bring me over to a spot. Usually they'll put the flag somewhere in the background. That's the beauty of people to do these things. And they'll do an interview with me. If you have a lot of people around me, and all those people around me, if you ever looked in any documentary tapes that my little brother did when the flag came down off the Capitol many times, where there are people around me, they will start acting with me. And a lot of media people don't like that. So they separate me from, I'll cut you. I'm just a country boy, South man, America. I'm not looking for fame. I'll probably sign as many teachers as Elvis Presley. You know, there are always lots around me, period. Then let me tell you that. You might not see them, but there are always a lot of people around me.